Greetings, good listeners. I'm your host, storyteller, and spellweaver, Shanga Tagore. You are tuning in to my divination channel. Welcome to Otherworldly Giants. In this episode, I'm taking a bit of a moment of reflection. Like I talked about in the last episode, I'm in a major moment of completely starting over in life. With that, I just did a major redesign and rebranding of my website. New colors, new logo, new language to talk about the work and the art that I have to offer. In the process, I really clicked into how I want to describe this podcast, which I'm now calling my True Life Multiverse Podcast Drama. It's like the queer witch version of a true crime podcast drama, except it's true life, and the multiverse is involved. And therefore, you never really know what's real or what's a psychedelic trip, except I'm completely sober, for the most part. But exciting news, I finally created a trailer for this podcast. I recommend listening. It's part of how I'm reintroducing myself to the world. In this trailer, I talk about what it means to cast a spell with your story, and more about the spell, the prayer, the life force that is moving through this podcast drama. Another part of my new website is that I started a live memoir section, which I have dreamed of doing for a long time. FYI, the title is a throwback and nod to my live journal days. I'll have more to say about that later, but basically my dream with this live memoir is for it to be the adult, mature version of my live journal from 20 years ago with much less, you know, bad teenage angsty poetry for the most part. In my first official live memoir post, which you can read about on my website or listen to for free as a bonus episode on our Patreon page, it's called Thank You to a Fulfilled and Failed Career. In that post, I spoke about ending my previous career as an astrologer, or at least the kind of astrologer that organizes their practice around offering birth chart readings or regular horoscope readings for others. What I have always loved to do, however, is speak openly about my own birth chart as a vessel for teaching, learning, and story sharing, and I definitely want to continue doing that. So, today in this episode, I'm talking about my midheaven, which is in Virgo. I also spent some time reflecting on the story I told on the first episode of this podcast, the one called Gold. As some full circle moments have come through recently with regard to the suicidal energy that I spoke about in that episode and what it means to be fully rooted and alive in your galactic purpose. So heads up, we'll be talking about that topic here. I'll also be continuing the conversation on multiverse perspectives on animal companionship and the grief that comes with animal companion loss, and how all of that relates to this very special part of my birth chart. Here it is. This episode is called Virgo Midheaven, so you won't ever be just a memory. The Midheaven is the very top of the birth chart, an arrow pointing north. It's like high noon. It's where and what in your life the sun illuminates most brightly. The midheaven is associated with your career, because the midheaven is what you're known for, how you come across and share yourself with the wider world, how you are seen in public. The midheaven is like your publicist. It's your personal kind of fame. Now, Virgo is a really fucking weird thing to have on your midheaven. Let me just say it. And I've struggled with this part of my birth chart. I've had a lot of success with my career over the years, but I've struggled with fully actualizing my career. I'm 39, by the way, so yes, I do have that voice in my head that says, shouldn't I have been able to figure that out by now? Even though I know those societal expectations are bullshit, what I mean is that I don't feel like I've ever figured out how to truly take up all the space in my career that is available for me. I haven't felt that fulfillment that comes with fully owning and embodying my midheaven, giving it out into the world in a way where it fully comes back to me. That's what I think we want and need in order to feel truly successful, which is a word associated with the midheaven. For success, we need to feel like what we put out into the world fully returns to us in that ongoing, circular, reciprocal kind of energy exchange. I've struggled with this because Virgo is a really fucking hard thing to actualize on the midheaven. The midheaven is about fame, being seen and recognized, public expression. And Virgo is about the everyday, private, personal rituals that you share with yourself and yourself alone. So yeah, putting Virgo and midheaven together is like, huh? How are we supposed to do this? Virgo is about the magical parts of life that are so meaningful and special that truly make life worth living. These small things are so significant and they mean everything to us, and we have no way of explaining them to anyone else. We could try, but it's impossible to fully relay what this one small thing means to our heart, everything it represents, how deep it goes, and how much it touches. Nobody else can truly understand, and we don't need anyone else to understand. Not from a I don't need anyone defensive kind of place, but from a place of love. This fulfills me in and of itself, and that's enough. When Virgo feels successful, it's actually quite similar to how the midheaven feels successful. Virgo gives out their magic into their personal ecosystem, their daily rituals, and then the magic returns to them with that circular, reciprocal energy exchange. The only difference is that the midheaven does this exchange with the public, while Virgo experiences it completely privately, and that makes them completely happy. Virgo is complete within itself. In my ancient memory, I have a strong, clear knowing of what it's like to live in a community where everyone is taken care of just for being who they are, where every role one can play in a community is honored, valued, understood, and reciprocated. In this scenario, my Virgo midheaven is someone who sits in ritual with an incredible ecosystem of nature, trees, water, stars, rocks, birds, animals, ancestors. My Virgo midheaven is just a witch who wakes up and sits at her altar. At my altar, I do whatever spirit calls for, whatever the day calls for, whatever my body calls for. I do my energy healing, I sing my songs, I read my cards, and my altar never lets me down. As long as I follow spirit, I always have incredible, mind-blowing experiences, the synchronicities, the breakthroughs, the signs, the full circle moments. That thing the bird said that I wrote in my journal 2 years ago, that galactic memory that just bumped into my face. Those numbers. Oh my God, do you know what those numbers mean? Of course you don't. It's personal to me and one of those things that I can't explain and I don't need to. Then at sunset, I pour the water from this incredible day into the roots of the grandmother tree, and that medicine spreads throughout the community and absolutely everybody feels it. Everybody benefits from it. Everyone receives my contribution in the places that they need in a way that's best for them. And then my job is done. And that's enough. For today. In the last few years, the more healing work I've done on my tendencies toward workaholism, overgiving, burnout, I've come to really know the boundaries of what is my work to do in a community and what isn't. I've really learned to understand when and where to stop. I've learned to look at my day of Virgoan witchcraft and say, holy shit, I just did that incredible, bountiful thing. I'm good. That's enough for today. it's hard to go against the grain of capitalist, ableist, colonial patriarchy that tells me, you didn't do anything productive today. What evidence do you have of anything that you did? That voice will be the one to completely ignore the fulfilled and complete magical offering I just made to my community, and instead say to myself, oh my god, I didn't do anything. What's a long list of things I can now do at the end of the day while I'm super tired in order to feel like a worthy contributing community member? I can't live like that anymore. The boundaries around what I am and am not supposed to do in community have become like an electric fence. If I try to work more, to do more than I'm supposed to, I bump into that electric fence, and the consequences of doing so feels exactly as violent as bumping into an electric fence. The Midheaven is really about much more than just career. It's about what you're purposed to do in this incarnation. Big, cosmic, ancestral purpose, those giant questions. Why are you here? Why this planet? This time period? Why did you choose this body, this lineage? What's your mission? The Midheaven is about legacy. It's what our ancestors gifted us to move forward in a way that only someone in a body can move something forward. Legacy is about knowing you have something to leave behind of yourself that will keep living after you're gone. We all have a legacy to pick up and move forward and put down. We have a motor running somewhere deep in our gut, an ache, an urgency, a drive. We spend our lives chasing it and running away from it somehow at the same time. This motor can manifest as a panic attack or a big sigh of relief. Either way, it's a voice that keeps repeating, whatever you do with your time here, please, for the love of God, promise you will just put this down before it's too late, before it's your time to leave. I was recently listening to an interview that my dear beloved teacher, Dr. G. Love, shared with Adrienne Marie Brown on the podcast, How to Survive the End of the World. In this interview, Dr. G was expressing a similar sentiment. Everyone here on the planet has a holy purpose. Dr. G also said something that I didn't previously know about her. She said that she wasn't supposed to be here. That in all her intergalactic adventures and reincarnations, she had already completed her mission and purpose with Earth. She said, I had no business coming here, but I came anyway. Back in September 2022, when I released my first podcast episode, I told a story about how one afternoon I decided to open and connect with my Akashic Records, which are basically a giant quantum library that contains the memory of everything that has ever been, ever was, and ever will be. That day, when I opened my Akashic Records, a flood of galactic memory overcame me. I suddenly remembered all at once thousands of different lifetimes I've lived in this earthly dimension and many others. I saw weavings and weavings and weavings of my past lives. I was reminded that as a soul, I am really fucking old.
Let me put it this way. I look good for my age.
I've lived many, many lives here on Earth for a very long time. And I've lived many lives in other places in the universe for a lot longer than that. In my first podcast episode called Gold, I told this story about my relationship to suicidal ideation. My Akashic Records wanted me to remember something that day about my feelings of not wanting to be alive, as the records showed me the complete fulfillment of all the lives I've lived before. Because just like Dr. G, I too was not gonna come here this time. As I said back then, I was like Buffy at the end of season 5. If you know, you know. I was done. I was finished. My Akashic records showed me the roots and reality behind this kind of suicidal thinking that has been with me since I was a child. Part of it is, yes, about depression, despair, trauma, but not all of it. Those feelings of I'm not supposed to be here are also about simply remembering a part of my story. My soul's chronicle, my galactic history, my reincarnation origin story. I had already completed my mission on Earth. I didn't have anything left to do here. I saw clearly the boundaries of what I am and am not supposed to do for my community. And yes, those boundaries are a cosmic electric fence! Through all the other lives I've lived, I've done my part. At what point am I going to own what my Virgo midheaven needs from me to respect when I've done enough? So I'm listening to Dr. G's story, which you should listen fully to that interview. I'm linking it in the show notes. So I'm listening and I'm just feeling like, wow, it occurs to me that I think I know a lot of people who are carrying some kind of similar story in their energetic, celestial, and physical DNA. I look at some of my closest friends and the people who I've shared ceremony and community with, and I'm like, damn, I see you. You weren't gonna come either. I wonder if I've naturally gravitated toward and built relationships with people because we share this in common. Because that kind of pain, the kind that comes with knowing you're not supposed to be here, it's too much to carry alone, even if we're not aware of where the pain comes from. I wonder how we might think differently about our struggles, quote-unquote, to actualize our careers, our missions, in this context. What do you do with your midheaven, your purpose, your legacy, when by the time you got here, you were already done? I look at the people around me and I see blurry remnants, cosmic story fragments from their reincarnation stories glistening in their aura. Oh, that time that you said, nope, I wasn't supposed to come, but I begged the universe to let me do it. Or when you were like, yep, I pulled a prank on my galactic elders and I snuck away when they weren't looking and I jumped into that wormhole into my mother's womb. I just had to get up to some shenanigans here. I remember the option was laid out in front of me. I remember, actually, there were flocks of voices chattering around my head. The voices stretched across multiple dimensions. Everybody had something to say about whether I was going to reincarnate this time. And it felt the way I feel when my neurodivergent ass goes into sensory overload in a crowded room. The way the voices looked reminded me of that time I performed on stage at the corner of Church and Wellesley at peak hours of a sweaty Pride weekend in Toronto. From the stage, I saw thousands of tiny rainbow people packed in these streets so far I could not see where they begin or end, and everyone was looking at me. All these voices had lists of reasons for me. They had great debates. They had thoroughly researched UN-style sound arguments. They all had something to say about why I had to do it. They showed up ready to convince me, to demand my presence on Earth. I saw value in many of the reasons they gave me, but I couldn't shake my reluctance. So I said to the voices, okay, I heard you. If you still got more to say, you can write it down in your diary. But right now, I need to talk to my silence. So I did. I went nonverbal for what in human time might look like thousands of centuries. But I knew pretty quickly in that my answer was going to be a no. I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to want it. Could I find something in the quantum pages of reasons that others have given me? Could I find anything to hang on to? I couldn't. Until the 11th second of the 11th minute of the 11th hour. Something happened. And I changed my mind. I didn't beg. I didn't escape. Didn't sneak off. I didn't do it in secret. I stood on that pride stage, the highest point of a birth chart underneath high noon, out of the shadows, fully seen and heard by the multiverse public, and I said to everyone, I'm doing this completely of my own volition. Exactly 39 years later, on my birthday, June 2023, I treat myself to a birthday massage from my friend Becca Lemire, who is a wonderful body worker and massage practitioner. She understands energy healing and is skilled with supporting people with chronic pain, queer, trans, disabled people, bodies of all sizes. I'll put her info in the show notes. As we began the massage, she shared meditative words to help me receive and connect with my root chakra, which of course represents our connection to Earth, our right to exist in these bodies here and now. Becca was playing some of that, you know, like sound bath massage music. So I'm lying on the massage table, I'm going into a trance, and I hear these lyrics singing to me. Remember why you're here, remember. Look, I don't remember the tune, but you get the vibe. But I had another moment like I did last summer when I opened my Akashic records and a flood of galactic memory overcame me. Remember why you're here. Filling up the entirety of my world, I felt Esta and Rahel. For anyone who has known me, in my career identity in the last 15 years, you probably know me as an astrologer, a theater artist, a queer cabaret producer, a spiritual counselor. You've seen my shows, or you've watched my horoscopes, or you've had a reading from me. But the truth is, as much as those parts of my career mean a great deal to me, the most important part of my career will always be that I was a mom to these incredible, beloved, feline companions who were my babies. And then suddenly they were seniors. And then we had to say goodbye. Esta and Rahel, my two twin black cats, my Virgo midheaven. They are what the sun at high noon illuminates over my life the most brightly. They are how I have fully taken up all the space in my career available for me and then some. They are what I've given out into the world that fully returns to me, ongoing, reciprocal, mutual exchange. They're what I have poured my heart into and what has kept giving me more and more and more. Esta and Rahel are how I know what it's like to be successful. They are the small things. The very personal, private, holy, daily rituals of giving and receiving that make life worth living. If you know me at all, my love for them is the loudest, most obvious thing about me, and it's also been the most hidden part of my career. I can't explain to anyone what our love means, everything it represents, how deep it goes, and how much it touches. It's impossible for anyone outside of us to truly understand, and I don't need anyone to understand. Our love is complete within itself. Remember why you are here. When we think about the big questions associated with the midheaven, what you will contribute, what you will leave behind, so often we think about what we need to do. The books we need to write, the art we need to birth, the activism we need to organize, the people we need to support, the community we need to serve. Certainly, all of that is true. It definitely is for me. I need to do all of those things. And yet, in the moment I'm lying on the massage table on my birthday, another truth landed, completely pure of heart. Esta and Rahel, I came here to know you. I came here just to spend my time with you. I can't explain to anyone how deep our bond goes, but what I can say is that Esta and Rahel's souls might just be as old as I am. One of the gifts they gave me in their later years was the motivation to connect deeply with feline holistic medicine. It started because I just needed help with their health issues, because caring for an aging animal can be incredibly challenging and heartbreaking. A lot of people experience this, and especially if you don't have the right kind of support or access to animal medicine knowledge that is empowering, or even if you have friends and family around you who dismiss or don't understand how important this relationship is to you. What's more, if you're on a spiritual, revolutionary path, a magical, witchy path, a path of activism and justice healing, the health issues our animal companions take on can be all the more intense, heartbreaking, confusing, because it's their mission too, to help us heal our trauma and support our cosmic purpose. Our animals take on a lot for us. I experience this hardcore, and having a framework to understand the ancestral and galactic elements of animal companionship saved my life at some of my lowest moments. Esta and Rahel pushed me to find the animal communicators, the feline energy healers, the animal medicine carriers. I don't know what kind of mental health spiral I would have fallen into. I don't know what would have happened to my physical body if I didn't come home to this perspective, this understanding, this way of life. I don't know what would have happened to me if so many people around the world were not waking up to their calling and following it. So, let this be a message of encouragement to everyone listening. When you feel the urgency of your inner motor, and you know you have to do something about it, whatever is calling you, if it's weird, if it's different, if it doesn't have a blueprint, you're afraid it'll be rejected, it's something a lot of people might actually laugh at or roll their eyes at, or it's scary to talk about in public, let this be a confirmation. There's at least one person out there who, like me, would have not survived a part of their journey without the presence of others who are boldly and openly sharing their magic. And it's not just one person. There are many people out there longing for what you have to give. Remember why you are here. Esta, Rahel, and I have spent so many lifetimes together in so many different dimensions, in so many different kinds of bodies. We've experienced a lot of trauma together. War, hardship, poverty. Wherever we go and whatever we do, together we always find peace, adventure, home, and companionship, because that is who we are. Remembering the timeless truth of our relationship colors our grief differently. This is by no means the first time we've met, and it won't be the last, not by a long shot. Sometimes this truth is a salve. In other ways, it only intensifies the grief. Because in all the different timelines we've spent together, we've never, ever been in these bodies before, and we never will again. I want you to really let that land. As intergalactic as our souls are, these specific bodies will never exist anywhere else in the multiverse other than right here. Even if we look at quantum physics and chaos theory, or like your alternate dimension doppelgangers like they have in Marvel Comics, none of those versions of you are exactly like who you are, viscerally, inside your skin, right here, right now. So I get it. I get why so many people begged to come here again just one more time. I get it why they said, fuck it, of course I'm doing this, even if their mission was already done. They did it for love. And the grief that comes with that kind of love when it's cracked open by a body in transition? What do I do now with this cosmic existential crisis, this Spider-Verse anomaly, this twist in our time. What do I do with my purpose if it was to just spend my time with Esta and Rahel in these bodies and they're not here anymore, but I still am? Understandably, after Esta transitioned this previous January, I was like, fuck it. I'm done. The suicidal feeling returned to me. Like, I don't give a shit about my career. I don't give a shit about anything else that I was trying to do here. Esta and Rahel are gone. I'm done. There's something that I used to always say to myself for years, and I never told anyone about it, but it was a repeating internal narrative. I would say to myself, after Esta and Rahel leave, I'll let my money run out, I'll let myself slowly fade away, and then I'll leave too. I'd say this to myself anytime I would hit a real low point and feel those deep waters of depression and despair and just not wanting to live. Esta and Rahel were my anchors in those moments, because even if I felt that way, my love for them was strong enough to keep me here. I also feel like that narrative would pop up as a kind of preemptive coping mechanism for the grief I knew I would eventually experience when the time came for their transition. It was my way of reassuring myself. I'm not going to survive that kind of loss, so it's okay. I don't have to survive it. I can just leave too. I remember the first time I said that phrase to myself. It was way back in 2009, only a year after Esta and Rahel came into my life, and they were just small kitties. I have a clear memory of being at an airport traveling from Toronto to California. I don't know why that detail is important here, but it is. So I'm sitting on a chair in the airport, and I'm holding a piece of paper, and I'm looking down on it. The words are typed on the paper, and I remember they were typed in blue ink. The blue detail is important here again. I don't know why, but it is. And the words, they're my words. I think it might have been the first version of a story I was writing that would turn into my first book of poetry, that turned into my first one-person show, that turned into my first major ancestral awakening. That story was called The Erasable Woman. In my memory, I'm staring intently at my words on a piece of paper, but the words are all blurry. I'm looking at my poetry, but I can't read it. The only voice I hear is in my head, and it's saying, "Don't worry. After Esta and Rahel leave, you can just let your money run out, quietly fade away, and then you can leave too." That, my friends, in the magical world, is what we call a vow of poverty. Vows are inherited. They are older than one lifetime. Some vows can terrorize a lineage for generations. They can antagonize you from childhood to adulthood to eldership. A vow can switch and shapeshift its words and make it sound like it was only meant for a specific context. But its energy latches onto you as it did to your forebears. It's so sneaky that you think your mind invented it. So here I am. It's about February 2023, and that vow of poverty of mine comes around the bend after Esta's transition. It knocks on my door just like Rumpelstiltskin does when he's ready to cash in on his promise and get his gold. My vow of poverty was like, "Hello, it's me," tapping its watch. "You've been saying this for the last 15 years. It's time. Esta and Rahel have left. Look at your bank account. Your money's gonna run out. You actually have to make the decision now. No more putting it off for another day. There is literally no time left. Are you a person of your word or not? What are you gonna do with this vow of poverty? Are you going to fulfill it once and for all? Or are you going to put it in the ground once and for all?" I looked up at the vow and I said, "I don't know." "Yeah," it replied. "You look like you don't know." So, I had to have a sit down and honest conversation between just me and the universe. I said, universe, look, if there's really something else that's here for me, if there's still a motor, still a mission, still a purpose, if there is still joy and peace and adventure, if there is still a world of love where I will still be in love, a world that is not just about what I'm going to do for other people, not just because of the long list of reasons and arguments and demands that comes from crowds of tiny rainbow people. If there's a reason that is mine and that is complete within itself. If I'm going to choose to stay here, universe, I need you to show me why. Do it now, loud and clear. Give me something that I can believe in. Something to fucking sing about. Don't make me wait anymore. I need it now. I don't have the time. Because honestly, I can't feel it. And I really think that this time, it's a no for me. Then, pretty much right after I had that conversation, I stepped into the shower. It was the water. Of course it was the water. Something the water said to me, or maybe it was the way the water said it. Whatever happened in that moment, I don't know. But at the 11th second of the 11th minute of the 11th hour, I changed my mind. 4 months later, I'm on the massage table on my 39th birthday, and I remembered, again, that I am a human who apparently has an enormous capacity for Akashic memory. As a soul this ancient, I carry legacies, revolutions, birthings, bloomings, and obliterations from Atlantis to Lemuria to the Pleiades and Sirius, not to mention my spiritual legacy right here dating back to primordial Earth, to a soul that was once young in Lyra, way before the galactic wars were even a whisper in cosmic imagination. Esta and Rahel were with me through it all. And I do know, in my heart, the time we had in this incarnation, in these sacred bodies, it was enough. For a soul who has already done enough, had enough, been enough, who understands and respects when it is time to stop, what could have possibly changed my mind? If I could come here one more time and write it all down. I know. I already have fulfilled one part of my career, my legacy, in just getting to spend time with Esta and Rahel in these special bodies. But what if I have another career, another legacy, that maybe means just as much to me? Maybe the one thing that could change my mind, maybe the one nugget of peace I came to terms with in letting myself be okay to let Esta and Rahel go. Because they knew that together, we arrived at the moment for me to fully actualize my midheaven as a writer, and I knew it too. They knew the best place for them to be while I do this is in spirit, so they can remember more and keep helping me to remember. They said, "This is the time, dear mom, for you to start putting it down. Speak it into the mic. Share it with the world. Let it travel through the roots of grandmother trees, through the friendships of stones, the giant ones and the small ones. Let the animals all over the world, in body and in spirit, take it exactly where it needs to go. Let the elements move it. Let the ancestors be healed. Let the descendants rejoice. The world wants to love you, dear mom. Let it. Live it out and let it come back to you fully and completely again and again and again. Let it do the kind of healing that only stories can do. And may I be the kind of writer that only I can be. I am a writer who has remembered and will keep remembering what it means to create with galactic memory, with magic, with spirit, and not keep that a secret. A writer who will be seen and heard in public for her Virgoan witchcraft, free of witch hunting, born letting you know I am not here to hide. I am a writer who will take up all the space available to me on my midheaven, because I came here to do this completely of my own volition. I am a writer that remembers her art is a portal for my loved ones to transition, become, and evolve as ancestors. My stories are a meeting place for my beloveds to gather with the trees and the water across time and space and dimension. My writing is life, where I still get to spend my time with you. I made peace with saying goodbye to your bodies for this. I'll make sure I honor that. I promise that whatever I do, I will put this down before it's my time to leave. So you won't ever be just a memory.
Gratitude, dear listeners, for being on this journey with me. A couple quick things to share. If you're listening in real time, I will be hosting some writing classes this summer 2023 on the Otherworldly Giant signature technology, open heart surgery storytelling, which combines magic, spirit, spell work, ancestor collaboration with the creative process. Topics we'll explore through writing include galactic memory, reincarnation origin stories, queer and trans happy endings, animal communication, grief and heart healing. Classes are designed to support us as writers, artists, magical people to harness our unique artistry and our creative power. Check out my website in the Storytelling School section for more info. And while you're there, please take in the beautiful new redesign of the entire website. I really love it. Also, if you feel so moved, share this podcast or any part of my work with anyone and everyone you think might enjoy it. And follow me on my brand new Instagram page at Otherworldly Giants. Yes, I changed my old account to a personal one and I started a new one, which I felt I had to do just, you know, to give myself a complete energetic new start. So at this stage, any assistance with sharing this work with your friends and community would be so greatly appreciated. Thank you. And if you're listening in from the future, hello. Check out the same links for what the hell I'm up to now. One can only imagine. That's it for now. I'll let our theme song take us home. Until next time, be brave, be a giant.